You're listening to Rosie on the House.
And another beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. You know, even today doesn't apply, but even when it's dreary and it might be raining like it has been at parts of January, it's still beautiful. Oh, is there ever a bad day in Arizona? We got tornadoes. We don't have damaging earthquakes. Yeah. We don't have tsunamis or hurricanes.
However, on Monday and Tuesday, it was cold and windy, and I stayed inside.
You know what? It was extremely windy. We did very little chores outside.
Yep.
I mean, we had planned to spend all day riding and out in the arena, and it just was not
friendly.
But it is the 8 o'clock hour, so you are tuned in to Rosie on the House. It's our outdoor living hour for Saturday of the month. It's Farmer Greg. Welcome back as always.
And thank you. I love coming on and chatting with you about our different things.
What things are we going to chat about today?
For us at the Urban Farm, January is all about deciduous fruit trees. Deciduous fruit trees are those that go dormant in the winter. And, you know, so apples, peaches, apricots, plums, pomegranates, figs.
And all of mine have gone more dormant than they have the last few years. I had some Anna apples that never really lost all their leaves. I had my fig. It did, but it didn't quite. My pomegranate. No, everything is twigs.
Yep, exactly.
All that's in the tree is sticks right now.
Well, you know, I'm not a fan of the cold, except when it comes to fruit trees and bugs. So for fruit trees, we need the chill hours. So for the deciduous fruit trees, we need the chill hours. Basically, that's any temperature under somewhere between 45 and 39 degrees. And a lot of fruit trees require a certain amount of chill, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little while. But the other great reason for the cold freezing weather is it gets rid of rats, it gets rid of bugs, you know, it
Skeeters,
really helps us manage those.
Back to the chill hours. We found something randomly this fall where it's called the leafometer, and it'll tell you how red all the leaves in Flagstaff and Oak Creek and Snowball are. So if you wanted to go see the fall color, the leafometer is your gram. Is there something out there that's tracking chill hours so we can see where we're at so far this year?
Yes, there's a website out there. I think it's called Get Chill.
Get Chill. And that would at least let you know what you can expect produce-wise, because all of the deciduous trees are rated by chill hours.
Yes.
Now, I have some that I know is way overplanted for the desert.
Right.
But I had the room. Somebody wanted to experiment, and they wanted a success story for the Maricopa County area. So I planted a couple pistachio trees. Now, I know it's only going to be about every 7, 8, 12 years we're going to have a cold enough, long enough chill hours that I'll ever get production. But
that'll be interesting, because pistachios are up in the 700-800 hour range of chill.
And these are supposed to be less than 500, they say, grafted.
Oh,
so
all right.
There was, and I think it was eight. It was either seven or eight. It would have, we had enough chill hours where I'm at, that we would have gotten production. So we'll see.
Oh, interesting.
We'll see. Yeah. If nothing else, they're just a nice shade screen on the west side of the horse pens.
There you go. The website is getchill.net.
Getchill.net.
Yes, go check out that website. So let's just define chill hours here, because this is one of the caveats of growing fruit trees here in the valley.
And last time you said something that was different than I had always remembered. I always thought it was anything under freezing, but you had said last time it was anything under 40?
Yeah.
Is that where they
start? So I've heard different things.
Okay.
39 to 45 degrees under that is the amount of chill hours. We got on average of about 350 hours of chill here in the desert. Last year, we didn't get anywhere near that. And most people got skunked on apricots. So we were pretty apricotless last year. So hopefully we're going to get apricots on our trees this year. But, you know, we really need those chill hours to set the fruit and have a big harvest.
That's part of it. You first have to have the chill. The second part that I'm horrible at is thinning.
Oh, yes.
Especially on peaches. And my peaches and apples, I have such a hard time thinning. But, yeah, if you want something that you can that's not cherry tomato size, you got to thin.
You got to thin. Well, in the industry, they say fruit every 3 inches. thin it back to that. I had an interesting experience at the Urban Farm maybe 10 years ago on my mid-pride peach. A mid-pride ripens about the end of June. And so it started setting fruit in February, and we got a really late season freeze, and it froze off most of the fruit. But the 15 or 20% of the fruit that was left over was the biggest, nicest, juiciest peaches I'd ever eaten in my entire life. They were bigger than baseballs, and they were just absolutely incredible. So that really, you know, points to people, you really have to thin your trees. And actually, the way I thin the trees is really simple, because who has the time, especially if you have multiple trees, to go out and thin it down to every 3 inches, right? So I actually just go out starting in January. As soon as it starts budding out, I'll shake the tree. Just go out and shake the tree and knock off whatever's not really attached. And I'll do that a couple of times a month. And that'll knock off, you know, a good 20, 30, 40%. The other issue that we have with thinning, especially with peaches, if you haven't pruned appropriately, the branches, the peaches grow at the very long end of the branches. The branches will get so heavy that they will actually break the tree.
Now, if it breaks back, will new growth come from that break point and then produce from there? Or does that ruin the whole tree?
Yes.
Yes.
Could be either one.
Okay.
Depending. So about 10 years ago, a friend of mine called me one day and she said, Greg, my mom's peach tree has broken in 3 places. And this was it was more of a bush than it was a tree. So it was a shorter tree, which is what we encourage, is bushes rather than trees. Because a peach at the top of a, 15-foot-tall peach tree is bird food for the most part. And so I went over
A fall and a trip to the emergency room waiting to happen.
There you go. I went out and looked at their peach tree, and there was one thigh size break. One of the branches broke that, it was thigh size. It was huge. The other two were like baseball bat size breaks. And once I got done pruning that tree back, there was pretty much just a stump left. So that's the other thing. Thinning for that reason, but also you have to prune back and manage the size of the tree, and we do that when the tree's dormant.
I haven't pruned any of my trees once, and I think this is the 6th year they've been in. They're beautiful and they're getting big, so add that to Amanda's
note to self.
No, note to Amanda. You gotta learn how to do this right.
There you go. There you go.
I hope she's not listening. But they are my favorite tree for color. In the springtime here, a couple months, just right out our master bathroom window, we'll have a row of our 3 peach trees, and they'll just be this pink-white coat. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So my favorite thing to grow is a fruit tree. I have a whole fruit tree program where I start education in September, and people are able to take free classes from me. In fact, if you email me, greg@urbanfarm.org, I have 2 pre-recorded classes. So you want to grow a fruit tree. And 3 ways to kill your fruit tree, which we're going to talk about here in a little while. Those are free online classes that you can take. So if you email me at greg@urbanfarm.org, I'll stick you a link out to those so you can watch them online. But my reason for growing fruit trees is because you plant it once and you can harvest it for decades. And I'll tell you, once you eat your own peach or apricot or plum or apple, it's really hard to go back and buy something in the grocery store.
It's fun.
And it's fun growing your own fruit. Yeah.
The exception on buying stuff from the store is stuff that we can't grow. We don't get a lot of red apples down this low in the desert. You can probably get some in the upper regions of our Flagstaff listening areas. I'm sure that you can get into some redder apples, but those McIntosh and those ones that come down from Michigan.
You're not going to grow any of those here, though.
No. So those are the ones that we still have to get store bought.
for multiple reasons, there's only 2 varieties of apples that I would plant here, and that's the Anna and the Dorset Golden. Otherwise, you're just experimenting. And here's the thing. Experimenting with fruit trees is fine if you know you're experimenting with them. My entire fruit tree program is designed to deliver a product that if you do what I tell you, you're going to get fruit. And if you plant a Macintosh apple here, I can probably unequivocally say, is that the right word? That you're never going to get fruit on it. You know, it's high chill. It ripens at the wrong time. So you're just setting yourself up for failure. And that's what I really like to share, because you can go into most nurseries in this town and all the big box stores, and they will sell you a fruit tree that will never make fruit. And that just frosts me. And
nice pun. Or is that a play on words?
Yeah, there you go.
So Greg has chill hours?
I have the good chill hour trees.
Hey.
So that's one of the big things is, you know, chill hours. And we're going to talk about some more of them in a little while. And then there's this whole notion of urban orcharding. And urban orcharding is different than, you know, the orchards that are down in Picacho Peak or...
what Arcadia is all built underneath, or Mesa and some of the...
Right, exactly. Usually in our yards, we don't have room for heavy equipment. And we just, you know, we have a small space. So we need to keep our trees small. So this whole urban orcharding thing is really all about keeping your trees 6, 8, 10 feet tall so you can actually harvest them from standing on the ground.
Which is huge. And like you said, you can plant it once and it can produce for decades. Yep. By the time a lot of us have homes and have a time and schedule that we can plant and do a little bit of gardening, you know, we're kind of a little up there in years. So, you know, 20, 30 years later, you're not at the age you need to be climbing anyway.
There you go. Like you said,
and then it's all bird food. And nothing wrong with feeding the birds, but, you know, we still have to manage our water and our resources, and why make something so big that it doesn't need to be. Keep it small, keep it contained, keep it to where it's producing enough for you.
And we're going to talk more about that after the break.
It's Rosie on the House here with you every Saturday morning, fourth Saturday of the month. So we're joined with Farmer Greg here at Rosie on the House.